You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
The Arkansas football team began its preparation for Cincinnati today, single digits now, until the season opener. The Razorbacks just 9 days away from playing Cincinnati at Razorback Stadium on September 3rd. Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com. Little news before we get going on today's podcast. There was a transfer that was announced earlier today. Taylor Lewis, a defensive lineman who transferred to Arkansas earlier this season from College of the Canyons, which was a junior college in California, has said he's going to transfer. Lewis was a 6'3", 317-pound defensive tackle who grew up in Chicago. He'd only been at Arkansas for a little under 3 months. I think he got here in June. He'd been running as a third-team defensive lineman in portions of practice that had been open to the media. He tweeted something today. He said, "I appreciate the coaching staff and all my teammates at the University of Arkansas. It's in my best interest for my athletic career and personal growth to enter the transfer portal." Last year, Lewis was a junior college All-American. He had been recruited also by Auburn, Nebraska, Missouri, and some other schools. Andrew, I don't know how big of a loss this is for Arkansas because, you know, he really hadn't made a move to really earn a lot of playing time. But when you think about, you know, what they're looking at depth-wise at the interior of the defensive line with Torian Carter being out, Marcus Miller, you know, undergoing the knee scope this year, or earlier this month, and that's kept him out of a lot of preseason practice. You get a little queasy, I guess, when you've got losses on the interior just because there's not a lot of depth there to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think his departure will be much of a factor this season, just because when Torian Carter went down, you were, and Cam Ball was out of camp for a few days, and they're practically begging for bodies on that interior D line, and he still was playing largely with the third string. And I think he was more of a depth guy, and I think this is just a case of him not liking his position on that depth chart. But one thing that kind of intrigues me about this is that Sam Pittman's staff hasn't missed on many transfers to this point, but I think last year they had a JUCO defensive lineman also who transferred in, was a top JUCO defensive lineman, and I don't think he played much, if at all, last year.
Yeah, Jalen Williams, who came in from East Mississippi Community College. You know, I always think the junior college players are a little bit harder to project how they're going to fit into your program, you know, because a lot of them, they haven't been in that Division I type program. And as we all know from watching, you know, Last Chance U, there's a really big difference between an SEC program and some of these junior college programs that these players are coming from.
Yeah, and I think it makes it difficult for those junior college guys because you're already behind and you're older, so you want to play right away. And if you're not playing right away, that's more of a cause for concern. And so I would assume that he's going to go look for somewhere that he can contribute sooner rather than later.
You know, I mean, sometimes you just get into a situation that you didn't know it was going to be the right fit for you. And I'm not saying that's what happened with him, but you know, given the timing of when he came in and the timing of when he left, that's kind of the feeling I get. Sam Pittman, when he was speaking at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club on Wednesday, he mentioned that he had a player come in a couple of days earlier and say that he wanted to transfer. He said, "It's unfortunate." He said, "But you know, sometimes that's what happens." And, you know, given this news, the chances are that Taylor Lewis was that player that he was referencing. You know, we haven't talked about this on the podcast. Lewis is the second player who has announced that he's going to transfer away from Arkansas during this preseason. Jaquelin Crawford, who was a wide receiver, had come in from Oklahoma last year. He says he's also going to transfer. Crawford had been dealing with an injury this year. I think he had a broken leg during the spring. Correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but I think that's what the injury was. Had minimal playing time a year ago. I think he had some catches in the Georgia Southern and UAPB games. But, you know, he's just a player that kind of similar to Lewis, although, you know, Crawford was on the team for longer, just couldn't really climb up the depth chart to a point that you felt like he was going to be playing a whole lot. And, you know, I almost feel like maybe he was passed by some of these receivers who came in this year. And Isaiah Satania is one who comes to mind, who probably has taken a higher position on the depth chart at one of those slot receiver positions where you might have otherwise seen Crawford.
Yeah, you're right about the leg injury. And I think he was a guy that came with a decent fanfare, and people had some expectations for him being a former four-star receiver that went to OU. But he, I don't think he ever looked really the same speed and agility wise after that leg injury. And obviously that's hard to come back from when your speed is derived from your legs. And I think what's interesting about these two transfers is the timing of them, just because it seems almost too little too late to go join another program and try to catch on when you're already this far behind.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's the way, at least if you're looking at FBS programs. I don't know what the timing is in terms of being able to get onto a roster in FCS, Division II, Division III. You've got NAI, you've got junior college football. There's a lot of different levels, you know, where they might end up at. You know, you got some schools that are like Arkansas. You got a lot of schools like Arkansas that go by semesters. You've got some schools out there that go by trimesters where, you know, their classes don't begin for another, what, 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, so I think that, you know, it's unlikely that they end up somewhere, but I don't know that I would say it's totally a foregone conclusion that they won't be playing somewhere this year. This is going to be a little bit shorter Whole Hog Football podcast today. We want to remind you that the Whole Hog Football podcast is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas, where you always get the best service and the best buying experience in the state.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Well, I want to remind you that on September 7th, Hunter Juracek is going to speak at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. We had Sam Pittman there earlier this week. That was a great time listening to him tell about his team. Also, you know, answer some of the questions that I had for him. We had a lot of people come up afterward and say they really enjoyed that lunch hour with us. Hunter Juracek will be there September the 7th. If you've never been and you're interested in coming, check out our website, nwadealpiggy.com. That's one of our sister websites. That's nwadealpiggy.com. You can find ticket information there. It's about a one-hour luncheon. We'll open the doors at 11:45. The program will begin at noon, and we'll have you out of there on your way back to work by 1 o'clock. Our Hogs Illustrated Sports Clubs are at the Hilton Garden Inn off of Weddington Drive in Fayetteville. On Wednesday, Sam Pittman also had the premiere of his weekly radio show, Sam Pittman Live, out of the Catfish Hole. He spent a lot of time on Weddington yesterday, Andrew, at the Hilton Garden Inn with us at the Catfish Hole right down the street. Always an informative deal with those coaches' shows. And we wanted to play you some highlights from what Sam Pittman had to say last night. You'll hear Sam Pittman's voice. You'll also hear Chuck Barrett, the voice of the Razorbacks, asking him some questions. This is some audio from Sam Pittman Live, courtesy of the Razorback Sports Network from Learfield.
We have a lot of really good players on our team. They're playing extremely hard. You know, that's what we wanted, to be honest with you, when we came into Arkansas, is we wanted the folks, the fans, to be able to go to the games, excitement in the games, and leave feeling good about the Hogs. And we're getting there. We're not there yet, but we're certainly headed in the right direction.
you've talked a lot about, and you did when you got here, about restoring belief, restoring the identity. That seems to have happened. Is that a continual process? Is that something you say, all right, we've done that, now we got to take the next step? How do you work that?
Well, it's working. So I think we just continue to do what we've been doing, you know, and continue to work hard in the weight room and the expectations of our program and all our kids, they know, and they're a perfect example of it, but they know what we expect. And to be honest with you, they expect it, and that's probably more powerful than it coming from us. They police their own.
It does start with the quarterback, obviously, with KJ, and there's been a lot of discussion clearly about him, but it seems as though when you watch the way he carries himself, that his teammates follow him, and he's the guy that they want to emulate, and he's the guy that they look to be their leader.
Well, I think that's on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I think our defense, they want to beat him, you know, during practice and all that type of thing, but they know he's our guy, and they know he's going to be the difference in some games, and so there's a lot of respect. Now, you just don't walk out there and everybody, well, he's a starting quarterback and the whole entire team respects you. That you have to earn that, and he certainly has by the way he works, by the way he acts. You know, he's not a big ego guy. He's just him, and he's going to do if we're running whatever we're doing in the weight room, he's in the forefront, he's doing it, and I think that's how you earn respect to your teammates. And then if you're a good player, it becomes easier at that point.
Does he look a little different? I mean, has he lost some weight?
Yeah.
Kind of reformed his upper body?
Yeah, he looks good. You know, I punched him in the gut the other day, and he said, don't hurt your hands, you know. I said, who you think you are, Fabio or something, you know, and he had no clue who I was talking about. But let me say this. I saw a lot of smiles of these ladies right here.
Yeah.
They know who he was.
Yeah.
So after the practice, I sent him a picture. I said, this is Fabio. You look nothing like him, you know.
Andrew, do you know who Fabio is?
I've heard the name. I don't know if I'd be able. I know a picture in my head is like a good-looking dude with long hair.
Yep, that's it.
But
blonde
I don't
hair.
Know exactly. Like, if you showed me a picture of him, I wouldn't be able to like look at it and tell you who that is. But I've got an idea.
Usually got like a wax chest with a shirt off or open or something like that. Was made a lot of ladies swoon in the 90s. I remember him from the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter commercials. That was my only introduction to Fabio in the 1990s. So I don't know, but that's what always comes to mind whenever I think of that. Kind of a funny story listening to Sam Pittman talk about his interaction with KJ Jefferson and mentioning his name. One of the really informative things that I think came out of what Sam Pittman had to say at the Catfish Hole last night was that yes, there are some offensive linemen that are, as he said, beat up, you know, some injuries in the offensive line, but he said that he thinks they're all going to be back by the Cincinnati game, that everybody that, you know, whether it be, and he didn't name any names, but of course, you know, Ricky Stromberg's been dealing with an elbow injury. He has been practicing through it. Brady Latham has missed some practice time. You've got Marcus Henderson, who's been going through drills in a no contact jersey. Devin Manuel's been out. Josh Street's been out. But all of these players who have been out, he said that he doesn't think any of the offensive linemen will be out for the Cincinnati game. And he said that he thinks by Monday of next week, they'll pretty much be full go on the offensive line.
Yeah, and that unit is going to need to be a strength for them because they've got so much experience and have played so much ball for them. And the one maybe concerning aspect with the injuries regarding the offensive line would be the center spot, if Stromberg is a little more hurt than they're letting on, or if Marcus Henderson isn't able to play if Stromberg's out because he's also injured, then it gets a little murky behind those two because at practice, the practices we've seen, the guys filling in, I think, were Josh Street, Patrick Kudas, and they had some trouble snapping the ball. And I think Sam Pittman's mentioned that he thinks the center is probably the most important position on that offensive line. And so I think you've got to have a confidence in your guy at that spot.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Stromberg is injured if Bo Limmer is their center, to see him slide over there from the right guard position. And then you start kind of playing musical chairs in order to replace him. Probably you would see Tyquese Crawford go in at right guard. And just to be clear, just to clear up any confusion that there may have been yesterday, what's happening right now is that with Brady Latham out, Bo Limber is sliding over to that left guard position, and Tyquese Crawford has been playing on the right side. We've heard Sam Pittman say, Andrew, that he really likes Tyquese Crawford on the right side. And sometimes it has to do with, you know, talking about dominant hands and things of that nature. But either at right tackle or right guard, that seems to be where they like Crawford, as opposed to maybe playing him at tackle on the right and left side. They like to see him on the right side, whether it be at guard or tackle.
Yeah, I think coming into the season, there was a question that maybe he could contend with Luke Jones for that spot at left tackle. And so I think it surprised a lot of people when they kind of stuck him at that right side of the line and behind Dalton Wagner. But we've heard Sam Pittman sing Tyquese Crawford's praises a number of times this offseason, and even kind of talked about how he thinks he's going to have to play a lot of snaps on that right side, because he very candidly said that he's not sure if Dalton Wagner will be able to hold up and play every snap of every game because of his injury history.
One of the comments that Pittman had out of the catfish hole that I thought was really interesting, it was the one that really just jumped off the page at me when I went back through and listened to the audio and typed out some of these quotes. This was a quote on a question from Chuck Barrett to Pittman. Pittman responded, he said, "There's not really what I would call a weakness out there," talking about his team in the preseason. He said, "Some teams do, and they have to hide them. We really don't have to hide right now." I thought that was a pretty bold statement for a coach in the preseason.
Yeah, I would agree. But then when you look through the roster and up and down position by position, I was trying to think of where that weakness might be. And I guess if I had to pick a weakness on this team, I would go with the D-line. But it's not even so much of a weakness as it is just a question mark, because I have to think they have so many unknowns there, and maybe the depth. But I really do think he has a point when he says that they don't have much of a glaring hole to fill.
He did mention on his radio show that he's been really impressed with what Cam Ball has done at defensive tackle here of late. And he said of the defensive line that they really feel good about four defensive tackles and four defensive ends. And then after he said that, he said, and then you've got Dorian Gerald, who's really been coming along. You know, of course, Gerald, a really highly recruited player out of junior college a few years ago, has dealt with a lot of injuries, including a broken leg last year that basically kept him out of practice past September, didn't go through spring practice. And so there's been a reacclimation process there for him. But of Dorian Gerald, Pittman just said that he's making plays. I think he said he's splashing right now in practice. And so that was something that he's been really impressed with, and I think really excited by. Pittman and Chuck Barrett went through basically position by position last night on the radio show. They talked about running backs. You know, he basically said they're kind of slowly bringing back Dominic Johnson. We've mentioned him, that he's just kind of returned here recently to practice wearing a no-contact jersey, going through some individual drills. The chances of him playing in the first two games, I think, are really slim. Pittman has said previously that he doesn't think that they will have Johnson by the Cincinnati game or the South Carolina game. And then I think it's up in the air past that on when he will return. They're going to go probably with a three-back look in the first game against Cincinnati. You've got Rocket Sanders, A.J. Green, and then the freshman Rashad DeBenyon. Pittman said of them, quote, "They all have a little bit different game to them. With Rocket, it's more of a speed guy, power guy. DeBenyon can try to make you miss in a phone booth, and he's got that kind of ability to him. And to be honest with you, AJ's a guy that's more of a speed guy." So they've got some different looks there at running back, Andrew. The one thing that I'm interested to see is Rocket enough of a power back to make up for what we know they had with Dominic Johnson?
Yeah, if there was one position group that they could, that Arkansas could absorb an injury to a starter, it's definitely in that running back room. They're stocked with talent back there. And I think from what we've seen in the offseason, Rocket should have no problem living up to that power back role. We've talked about it numerous times. He's jacked. We've seen him hold his own in pass protection drills and rock some linebackers. I mean, he's basically built like a linebacker who's a running back, but I think he'll be able to fill that role just fine.
You know, one of the other comments that I think Pittman made that stood out to me was that it sounds like he really likes what he's got in the secondary. And, you know, that's been an area that's been hit or miss a little bit in the past, even at times since Pittman has come in as the coach. But, you know, they've got Jalen Catalon back. I think that's a huge deal for them, having him back at the, you know, the back end of the secondary. And then I think they like what they've got in their cornerbacks and their nickelbacks. Pittman said Miles Slusser's having a really good camp, and he, you know, named off several cornerbacks who, you know, sounded like they had impressed him. Of course, we've heard them talk about Hudson Clark. They think that Hudson Clark's probably had the best camp of any cornerback there is. But Pittman said that he likes the play of Ladarius Bishop. He likes the play of Malik Tavis. He likes the play of Dwight McLaughlin, the transfer who's come in from LSU. He said the Razorbacks are deeper at cornerback than they have been before. And this was a quote. He said, quote, "I do like our corners a lot better. I think we're able to do some more."
Yeah, I can't remember if it was after the first or second scrimmage, but I think he was talking about that secondary group, and he said that they're better at that cornerback spot than they have ever been in his tenure. And it's largely with the same guys that they've had in that secondary for a couple years now, and Hudson Clark, Ladarius Bishop, and Malik Chavis have all been in that room. They're not newcomers. But then you add on the newcomers like McLaughlin, who has stood out in practice and in the offseason camp. And I think there's potential for a lot of improvement there, when maybe that was maybe not a weakness, but not a strong suit of that defense last year.
Pittman said he's been impressed with the defense in preseason camp. Trey Knox, the tight end, he was also at the Catfish Hole for Sam Pittman Live. And he kind of spoke to, he basically said the defense can, quote, diagnose a play before we even run it. And he kind of went through how he's sitting there and you hear the defense saying, oh, this is coming. Oh, wait, he's motioning. Now this is coming. And he says, all right, okay, we know. We get it. You know what play is coming here. But he said, you know, they run to the ball. They're very cerebral. He said they're aggressive. They play the game the right way. And Pittman said, you know, the right way is getting all 11 to run to the ball, and that's what they've seen on film.
Yeah, I think the hallmark of Sam Pittman teams this far have been all about effort and belief, even when they were underdogs in every single game in that all-SEC season, and for the most part last year as well, and just believing that they can win, and that effort that they have was infectious, and guys like Grant Morgan and Hayden Henry kind of led that charge, and now I think they've passed that on to Bumper Poole, who Sam Pittman said was the voice of the defense, is the voice of the defense this season. Going back to those 60-year seniors that are taking that extra year, like Bumper Poole, I think that the COVID season was just awful for so many reasons, but it has afforded some flexibility for the Razorbacks roster, and I think they've really benefited from it.
It reminds me a lot of the Houston Nutt coach teams. You know, they weren't always the most talented teams out there, but man, would they give you some effort defensively, you know, especially under certain defensive coordinators during that 10-year run. You would see them just swarm to the football, and I think that's what you have seen for this defense coached by Barry Odom in the 2 years going into the third year now under Sam Pittman. Finally, they talked about special teams. You know, they kind of joked, they talked about special teams during a segment that, you know, really kind of, they only had about a minute and a half to get to it. And Chuck Barrett admitted, he said, you know, sometimes special teams, they get forgotten, but, you know, like we've talked about here on this podcast, they don't really get forgotten in Pittman's program. I mean, you've got a long snapper and Eli Stein on scholarship, and Max Fletcher, the punter, is on scholarship. Cam Little, the kicker, is on scholarship. You would be hard pressed to find very many Power Five programs that have three specialized positions like that, with players that are on scholarship. And not only are they on scholarship, but they were recruited on scholarship. You know, a lot of times you might get a punter who comes in as a walk-on and he'll earn a scholarship at some point during his career. They actually recruited these players with a scholarship. And in some instances where they didn't have the full allotment of scholarships because of all you know, the COVID seniors that they've been bringing back. But he talked about special teams. He said that they had a meeting recently where, you know, they were just discussing different players' value to the team. And he said whenever the discussion moved to Cam Little and his value to the team, he said that's when he saw the most heads nod. And he said Cam Little's value to the team is – he didn't say invaluable, but that's basically what he was talking about. You know, basically it's that he said Cam Little makes the offense better, especially in a 2-minute drill. He said, because if Cam Little can get the ball to the 30, or if the offense can get to the ball to the 35 yard line, they've got high confidence that Little can make a field goal from that point. He said that the confidence in Little is just really, really high among the team.
Yeah, I think Arkansas has placed a premium on special teams under Sam Pittman, and I think it's really smart to do so because they're getting the best specialists with those scholarships, because you're not going to get the best if you don't offer them a free ride, because someone else will. And I think you see that with Cam Little, that they gave him a scholarship as one of the top-ranked kickers out of high school, and he's come in and won some games for him as a freshman and continues to be an integral part of the team. And I think that's the special teams portion of the game of football as a whole gets overlooked a little bit, but at the end of every drive, you're either going to punt, you're going to kick an extra point, or you're going to kick a field goal. And so at some point you have to have these special teamers come in for your team. And I think Arkansas is in a good position with theirs.
And we'll see what happens with the punting situation. You know, it's a battle right now between Reed Bauer and Max Fletcher, but I think both of them are going to end up punting in some different situations this year. You know, what they really like from Fletcher, and Pittman reiterated this on his coaches or on his radio show last night, was that he's really punting the ball. Pittman's comment was he's kicking it back to Australia, really kicking the heck out of it right now. And kind of an interesting deal with Fletcher is that his older brother, I believe his name's Mason, is a starting punter at Cincinnati, who's also a really good punter. And so you could potentially have these punters or these brothers punting against each other in that season opener. And I believe I've heard that their parents are actually going to make the flight over from Australia to watch this game.
I can see the sidebars already if Fletcher wins the job and he's punting with his brother in that same game. And I think, granted, I haven't paid attention to the punting battle at practice very closely, but I think they have two good punters, solid punters that they feel confident in. And I would believe, based on just his brother's ability, that Max, the younger brother, has probably got some solid potential as well.
Sam Pittman's going to speak with the media again following Thursday's practice, and we'll have more from that conversation later tonight at WholeHogSports.com. Every time we get a chance to talk with Sam Pittman, it seems like we learn a lot about the team, a lot of new things that maybe we didn't know going into that press conference or whatever the availability might be. It seems like every time he talks, he's very insightful, and that's something that I've always appreciated about him, going back about 9 years to when I first interviewed him as an offensive line coach. Hope you'll visit us at WholeHogSports.com. Be back with another podcast tomorrow. For Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. This is the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.